Amen. Turn this morning, please, to Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And as we are able, let's go ahead and stand. And we are going to read the entirety of the chapter this morning. Proverbs chapter number 2. Beginning, of course, in verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are your sheep. And the pasture that you have for us is your word. I pray this morning that the good shepherd would feed his sheep. That your word would be sustenance for our souls. That is the blessing that we ask this day. That we would be inclined to hear and to direct our attention to the truth of your word. And I pray this for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you, of course, may be seated. Well, these 22 Proverbs are all really connected. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are kind of designed like that, characteristics in nature. The last Proverbs 10 through 31 are more conduct-oriented. Do these things. They fit together. First nine chapters kind of introduce us and go over main themes, and then there are the additional Proverbs that help round out our understanding and conduct. In chapter 2, the general theme is that of evil. Solomon wants for his son to be wise. God wants for us to be wise. A skill that is oriented around him in conduct and philosophy. Verses 12 through 15 are oriented around evil men. And the word man, by the way, is, in verse number 12, from the man that speaketh forward things, is specifically male, a man, a boy. And then verses 16 through 19 deal with evil women. And again, the word there is very gender specific. Solomon has much to say about the relationship between boys and girls, and we will deal with that separately. We will not look at those verses this morning, but it is a part of the structure of the chapter. Chapter 2 is, we wanted to kind of outline it, we have Solomon's appeal to Rehoboam to listen to wisdom because there are evil men in the world, because there are evil women in the world, because both of those people pose a danger to you, and because those people are going to be addressed. That would be the four sections to chapter number 2. So this morning we're going to begin down in verse number 12 to Solomon's information about the nature of evil people. Evil men, verses 12 through 15. Who leave the paths of upright arms to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of the upright to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. If we were looking for a one-word definition of these people, I think the best definition would be twisted. Twisted. The very idea of froward comes from that. It means a word, it is a word meaning turned over or twisted. It is used again in verse number 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the twistedness of the wicked. Their ways are crooked. And then in verse number 15, we have the word froward, but it is not the same Hebrew word. It is actually a word that refers to being devious. They're devious in their conduct. And this particular word, by the way, is used almost exclusively in the book of Proverbs. There is only one other use in the Old Testament, and it is found, I will read it to you, you do not need to turn to it unless, of course, you wish to, Deuteronomy 32, which Moses wrote about the children of Israel at the end of his own life. And God said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, twisted, children in whom is no faith. They are twisted. Well, what is it about them that is twisted? In what does God mean by people being twisted like that, being froward? Well, they're froward in the way that they speak, verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Their words are twisted. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And we know, folks, you don't have to live very long to know that people are very twisted in their words. They make false accusations. They make false statements. They tell deliberate lies. And I'm not simply talking about the media. This is the way business is often transacted. This is the way entire segments of industry are viewed, including oftentimes in the minds of many people, ministerial professionals. Liars, hypocrites, frauds, fakes, twisted. Only out to get your money. Only out to gain power. Not only do they speak evil, they do evil. Verse number 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And you want to remember something, folks, that Solomon is writing to a young man who has grown up under the law of Moses, whose entire world is those who have grown up in the law of Moses. This is a nation that is religious by constitution and allegedly conduct. These are people who know what the right thing to do is because they have the Word of God in their hands. And without taking a lot of time on this, I would point out to you this morning that the New Testament, even when the New Testament Paul will do this early in the book of Romans. Even when the New Testament is working to make sure that we understand clearly the distinction between saved by grace and the works of the law is nevertheless very respectful to the law of Moses. What advantage is there then to being a Jew? If a Jew is as much a sinner as a Gentile, what is the advantage? Well, he got the law. Right? Nobody more than a Jew knew what the right way was. Nobody more than a Jew knew what the wrong way was. They had the direct commandments of God. These are the people to whom Solomon is reigning. Just as in Romans chapter 1, in which Paul adamantly argues that people know what is right, but hold it down so that they might pursue that which is wrong. This is the way of the evil man. So in what way are these people twisted? Well, their words are twisted. They tell lies. They misrepresent. They have hidden agendas. They are duplicitous. Their deeds are evil. They are contrary to the right and true and good ways of God. And they are twisted because this is their delight, verse number 14. They rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. This is their appetite. This is what they love. This is where they find their pleasure. Which, by the way, is pretty much consistent with what Jesus says about humanity in John 3:19, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And when one goes to the light, as we have gone to the light, right? We know when we come to the light, we know what happens. The evilness of our deeds get rebuked and chased away. But if you're a darkness lover, then what you want is perpetual darkness. And so then, verse number 15, because there is, again, folks, a progression, right? Here is an evil man. What makes him evil? He is twisted. Twisted in his words, twisted in his deeds, twisted in his desire. This is verse number 15 then, the entire package, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. And verse number 15 is simply making one point using two expressions. Not trying to articulate two nuanced things there. One thing, these are evil people. And all that they do is evil. And then, so therefore, going back to verse number 12, godly people need to be rescued from this. To deliver thee from these kinds of people. This is what Solomon is in the pursuit of for his son. Not to become like them, not to be their companions, not to be their supporters, but to be delivered from them. Verse number 12, to deliver thee. A very powerful word that means snatched from their grasp. Right? These are people who are telling lies, doing evil things, delighting to do evil. And that means they need an endless supply of victims. So with that kind of as the backdrop, let's go back up to the first 11 verses and understand what it takes to be rescued from them. How do we avoid them? How are we spared from them? And Solomon basically, folks, I could probably get us out of here in the next 30 seconds. With one sentence, you kind of have to want it. You have to want it. You have to be among those who have no appetite for that. That's part of the problem. That's really kind of where the heart and the crux of the problem is. So back up to verse number 1, my son. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Rehoboam, what do you want? What do you want? There are evil people in the world. You need to be rescued from them. Do you want to be rescued from them? You know, many a parent has lamented with many tears that their child fell in among the wrong crowd. You don't find very many parents who are willing to admit that their child found something they wanted in the wrong crowd. Rehoboam, what do you want? And if you will receive it, and if you will hide it, if you will take it, almost as if Solomon here is almost treating wisdom as some kind of a material substance that you could take and hide away. The word hide there is used, right? Hide my commandments with thee is the same exact word that is used to describe what Moses' mother did with his little body. She hid him. She put him out of sight. She tried to put him in a very safe place. So if you will receive this, if you want it bad enough to take it to yourself, and if you want it bad enough to put a little effort, not a little effort, a lot of effort into it. If you put the effort into it. Verse number 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Here's her word picture, isn't it? And I'm not right. If you have a dog, you've maybe seen your dog do this, right? Cock their ear to try and pick up a sound. I remember, and this has been a number of years ago, back in the days when we would go fishing in Canada, and we would fish early on Friday mornings before we'd pack up everything and make the long drive home, and we were back in a little quiet bay, and there was a deer that was on the bank feeding, and we were far enough away that we didn't startle the deer, but close enough to see it. And when we would cast our rods, the deer would turn its head and listen to the sound of the lures. Not startled, just trying to get the sound. That's the picture there. If you will turn toward the sound of God's instruction, if you want it that much, and if you will apply your heart, verse number 2, this is the same expression found in verse number 24 of chapter 1. Stretched out my hand. So if you want it, and if you want enough to work for it, and if you want it enough to ask for it, verse number 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. It is not the only means of getting it, but it is a means of getting it. We ask the Lord for it. I don't think that the Bible ever presents the picture that that's all that we do, but it is something that must happen, to ask the Lord for this kind of skill and wisdom. And if you'll want it this badly, in verse number 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now Solomon has really ramped up the desire, hasn't he? It's the same old story, folks, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody. I'd love to be a great piano player. I just don't want to spend the time and effort it would take to become one. I would love to be fluent in a foreign language, but it's so much work to learn one. And I would love to be skilled in godly living, but holy cow, what kind of effort does that take? I mean, can't I just walk an altar and surrender everything to Jesus and have it be like that? No. No. If you're asking the question in sincerity, no. It's this kind of effort. It's putting that kind of wisdom right up on the same kind of par with developing a career skill. Making money. pursuing a goal. Now, if you want it that badly, verses 1 through 4, if you want it that badly, if you have an appetite for it, and if you'll pursue it, and if you'll listen to the voice of the Lord, and if you'll ask God, because, right, that's the only place that you're going to get it. Solomon is very clear about that. We're listening to God, and we're looking to God, and we're laboring to do what God says to do. Well, then verses 5 and 6, then the prize is God himself. If you want it, verses 1 through 4, badly enough, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And then you will understand. Which in Proverbs 1:2 is translated with the word deceive. I mean perceive, not deceive. Perceive, and in Proverbs 7:7 with the word discern. And in Proverbs 14:15 with the words look well. And Proverbs 16:21 and 18:15 with be prudent. In Proverbs 17:10 with be wise. And Proverbs 21:29 with be directed. Then you will understand. If you will find it valuable enough to put the effort into it, then you will find it worth having. And it starts with God because, of course, God is the source of all wisdom. And Solomon then goes on in verses 7 through 9 to explain to his son what God will do for him if he pursues after God. Right? If you will pursue it, right? Here's who you are really pursuing. You are pursuing the Lord himself. Because the Lord gives wisdom. It's out of his mouth. And if you'll do that, you will find in verse number 7 that he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Layeth up. Makes deposits. Right? Just like we get money deposited into our bank accounts. God will make deposits into your account. He will lay up wisdom for the righteous. He will add wisdom. And he is a buckler. The word buckler means shield. He is a defender. Now, no amount of wisdom, folks, in this world. Nobody was ever wiser than Jesus Christ, and nobody ever experienced more rejection or greater resistance than did Jesus. This is not a promise that your life will be trouble-free, but the Lord is a protector of those who pursue wisdom. There's a lot of evil in this world, folks, that simply can be avoided by making wise choices. And he will guard your path, verse number 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Again, folks, two synonymous words here. One point being made. The two words actually in the Hebrew language there, keepeth and preserveth, are rhyming words. And then verse number 9, then you will understand, which is just like verse number 5. You will understand, and then you will understand. Righteousness, judgment, equity. You will understand what is just. And you will make the right judgments considering what is just. And you will be equitable, making the right decisions in every circumstance. You know, Solomon spends a lot of time, folks, in the book of Proverbs noting what we spend a lot of time in America trying to fix. And that is that the weak and the strong and the rich and the poor and the powerful and the weak don't get the same treatment in this world. It is not an equitable world. How can a world under the governance of Satan be equitable? But God's people are supposed to be equitable. And that means they must have a knowledge of justice and judgment. And that means they must know the Lord. And that means they must do the hard work of being just, which is sometimes painful to the ego and sometimes painful to the wallet. And when all of that comes together, verse number 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, then discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Again, folks, it doesn't mean that you will never be tainted by the evil that someone does. That's not Solomon's point. Solomon's point is, Rehoboam, you won't be one of those evil men. It's one thing, folks, to watch whatever media outlet you choose and conclude that they're lying. It's another thing to be a liar. It's one thing to listen to all of those people talk and conclude that they're cheats. It's another thing to be a cheater. And there is a little bit of a contrast here I would propose to you. Verse number 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When you know the pleasure of doing what is right before the Lord, you are going to live in contrast to those who find pleasure, verse number 14, in doing evil. There is going to be a fundamental incompatibility there. And in verse number 11, we have this expression, discretion shall preserve thee. But the intention of the word, right? What does that mean? Discretion will preserve me. It means simply this, that you will be guarded and protected and delivered. And again, we live in an evil world. If a bunch of cheats pass a law, we're going to live with that law. If a bunch of liars pass a policy, whether it be a public policy or a corporate policy, you're going to live with the consequences of that policy. Solomon's far larger concern is to keep his son from being one of those perpetrators. And then if you'll jump down to verses 21 and 22... Solomon gives the great motivator. Again, as I said, there are really kind of four components to the chapter. There's this broad appeal to pursue righteousness, wisdom. It will deliver you from evil people. It will deliver you, and Solomon here is talking to his son, from evil women. But there is a larger consequence. And again, folks, there's an entire Old Testament orientation here. Verse number 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. Remember that Israel's occupation of the land has always been tied to their covenant obedience to God. That was from the very get-go. I'm going to kick the inhabitants out of the land. They have sinned in it long enough. I'm going to give it to you. Don't be like them. I will kick you out of the land. And of course, that is ultimately what happened. But then notice verse number 22, having turned his attention from the land of promise, he becomes a little more broad in his focus. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. That's bigger than the land of Palestine. And the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Totally removed is what he means. To be rooted out is to dig in the ground and get every vestige of them out. And that is what awaits these evil people who are finding so much pleasure in sinful words and sinful actions. This is what is going to come to them. So God wants his young son, Rehoboam, to have this kind of wisdom. And the great secret, is it not, folks, right? The great secret is the appetite. It's the appetite. Right, if I could move into American culture for a moment. And I am an absolute and total 100% proponent of American culture in this way. Not that you care, but I'm just using it for the sake of illustration. I have a very simple palate. I like white bread. I like American cheese. I like cheeseburgers. That's my food. If I said that to my doctor, he would lay his head on the desk. And he would try to explain to me, because he is a very kind man, that my appetites are my undoing. Right? We understand that at that level, don't we? I'm not talking about food in any way related to the Lord, because the Lord is not offended that you like that I like white bread and American cheese. We understand the connection between diet and consequence. And we go, I know this is killing me, but I'm going to eat it anyway. And there's something about sinful people that have an appetite for that which is poisonous. In chapter 4 and verse number 23, and by the way, right? In America, knowing, number one, that our diets are critical to our life and health, we have all kinds of hope that some pill or miracle cure will fix that, do we not? I mean, it's just a steady stream. It's almost a barrage of advertisements for this weight loss drug, this end around, this fix, this supplement, this cure. In Proverbs 4:23, and I'm going to close with this and we will begin with this next week, Solomon says to his son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Rehoboam, there's an evil world out there. You need to be rescued from it. You have to want to be rescued from it. And that is a matter of the heart. Let's pray this morning.